All right, so we're in this series called Jesus, and as we go into it, we've been talking about stories about Jesus and some of Jesus's teachings and things that he said, and as we've thought about those kind of things, I want to point everybody's attention to last Sunday. Pastor Emily preached a message about Jesus and the words that his father, his mother, and his brother gave, which were, listen to him. And Pastor Emily last week encouraged us all to be listening to him, to do what Jesus' family said. And that I think that's just such great advice. But one of the problems is, like when Jesus was at that wedding in Cana, and Jesus' mom said, listen to him. And then he had him put the water in the big vats and turned into wine. They could just listen to his voice. When Jesus' father spoke, like those were people who knew him. He was embodied. He had a voice. He was physically there. And then Jesus died, resurrected, and ascended. And so his body is not here. So for us, it would be great, I think, if Jesus were here, we could say, Jesus, what do I do? Tell me. There's been many times where I've pleaded with God to do that. Like, tell me, what do I do? I don't know. Or if we could just like send a text message, wouldn't that be great? Or have a phone. Hey, I want to phone a friend today. I really need, so Jesus, like, how's it going? And then get this audible voice that answers back. But that's not how it works, is it? And here we are 2,000 years later on the other side of the world, and we're talking about listening to Jesus. What does that mean? Jesus has, his body is not here. He's ascended. We believe that he is alive. He's risen. He's alive. And so as we wrestle with that, Jesus said in John 10:14, this is really important to me, but he said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And then he said, they too, and notice that's in the future, they too will listen to my voice. So this is people in the future. This is people like us who are not there yet. So these are people. This is future tense. Not people who can hear the physical voice like Jesus' disciples could or Jesus' mom and his brother, but people who can't hear his physical voice or have not been around him. So as we, again, kind of wrestle with this, what is it that maybe Christ, how does he speak? What does it mean that Christ speaks to us? Because as a pastor, I would say, I don't know what to tell you a lot of the time. Listen to Christ. Listen to what he's saying. Don't delegate that because I believe that God speaks to people, that Christ speaks to people. And sometimes if we just delegate that thinking, somebody will step in there and be more than happy to tell you what God says to you. And a lot of times those people, I just wouldn't want to take their advice personally. I want to look at this story. This comes from a person who did not know Jesus during his earthly ministry. So when Jesus' body was here, Jesus was preaching sermons. This guy never heard him like preach a sermon. This guy didn't see him feed 5,000 people. This guy wasn't there. He didn't get to see the empty tomb. He didn't see him on the cross. And he starts off just being away from Jesus. And we don't know anything about him during Jesus' life. But he says this in 2 Corinthians 12:7. This guy's name is, we call him Paul. And he's talking about saying that he had an encounter with Christ. Like after Jesus had already ascended, there was some encounter that he had. And here he's talking about a specific time in his life where he encountered Christ. But he said, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord, and that the Lord is Christ. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Now, the thorn in the flesh, that's a metaphor. We don't know exactly what the thorn is, but it's something painful. Now, that's something all of us people can identify, going through something that's painful, something that's difficult. And Paul did what a lot of us maybe do when we're going through something that's just really painful and we're hurting. He was pleading. He says he pled three times. He kept pleading over, like, Lord, what do you, please take this away from me. How did he do that? Let's see what he said, what he claimed that Jesus revealed next. So let's go to the next one. But he said to me, he being Christ, but he said to me. So I want to stop here on this verse. But Christ said to me. So let's keep in mind, this is years after Jesus has resurrected and ascended. His body is not on earth. But here, Paul claims to have some sort of encounter with Christ, where Christ speaks to him. And who is it that Christ is speaking to? Paul. Who's this message for? Paul. It's a message for Paul. Do you think this was an out loud voice? Could have been. We don't know if this was an audible voice. Or maybe Christ was speaking to maybe like a time when you thought maybe Christ was speaking to you. If I had to guess, I would guess probably not audibly. But we don't know exactly how Christ spoke to Paul, but we know that he believes that Christ spoke to him. And listen to what he said next. My grace is enough. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. That's what Christ said. Who did he say it to again? A lot of times when we look at stories in the Bible, there's a specific message to specific people at a specific time and a specific place. Sometimes where it gets really messy is when somebody maybe takes a Bible verse that's said to a specific people at a specific time and a specific place, and they want to make it a universal truth for everyone. So let's keep in mind here that Christ is saying this to Paul, maybe not to everybody. I mean, it's a good message, right? But it's to him. It's a message to him. So as we look at this, I think that this message was probably especially good for Paul. Paul, if you don't know anything about Paul, that's okay. We try to make things real simple around here. But Paul was a person with a strong personality. Sometimes Paul could come on maybe a bit too strong. Paul emerged on the scene as a guy named, he called himself Saul at the time, and he was a zealous person. And in his zeal, sometimes he lacked grace a little bit. He lacked grace for people who had a different opinion. He lacked grace for people that he thought were wrong. And he could come on too strong. So this message to Paul to remember, my power is made perfect in weakness, was probably just the thing that Paul needed to hear at that time. And I'm guessing over and over in his life, he wanted to remember that time when Christ said to him, hey, my grace is enough for you. You don't always have to be real strong and force people to do things. My grace isn't sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Because God used Paul in his determination to do some really great things. He was really willing to stand strong in the face of opposition. But sometimes Paul could get a little carried away. And that strength or that lack of compromise or not willingness to back down cost him some pretty important relationships too. His good partner, Barnabas, they went out and they did some important ministry. And as they went and did it, they brought along a young nephew of Barnabas named John Mark. And John Mark got homesick. And so he didn't make the whole trip with them. He went back and he went home. And Paul and Barnabas continued on. Now for Paul, that was weakness. So when it came time for the next trip and John Mark wanted to go, Paul said, absolutely not. And he harmed his relationship with Barnabas, and they split. Now, good things ended up coming out of that. But sometimes Paul, I'm guessing that was one of the times he had to learn, like, maybe I didn't have to come on as strong as I did. And that Mark, it's all got a good ending, because that Mark is the same Mark who wrote the gospel. And he was an important part of the church. He was had a good relationship with Peter. Later with Paul, he'd reconcile. And Paul at one time thought he was maybe too soft, but he wasn't. So this message here, I think it was specifically to Paul, to a reminder, because so Paul wouldn't be harsh or insensitive or punitive, and that God could be used in Paul's weakness. So today we're going to go into this is going to be kind of a weird sermon. I've never been at a Saturday night service, though, before. So this is first for me. I'm a rookie. We did it last year. I was on sabbatical, so I wasn't here for the Saturday night service. So I'm like, we'll give it a try. We'll see what it's like. So I want to tell you tonight about a time when I believe that Christ spoke to me. Is that okay? If you think I'm completely kooky, that's okay. It's just my opinion. But I want to tell you about a time in my life when I believe that Christ spoke with me. This might be helpful to you, or it might not. The hope is that maybe it'll stir something. Maybe you'll think back to a time where maybe you thought that Christ was speaking to you. So that's the hope. It's not whether or not it was real for me or not. But I'm going to tell you my story. And again, take it or leave it. You may be helped or you may not. But the date was August 14th of 2011. It was early in the morning. My wife, Jenny, my beautiful wife, Jenny, was pregnant with our third child. And she was out of the house. So I was a pastor in Frankfort, Indiana. She was away from home that morning. So I had two small kids to get ready for church. And then I was going to go to church. And I was going to go to Sunday school and then preach a sermon. And it was a really hard time because that was a time in the church where I was a young pastor. And I was making some changes. And let's just say the changes that I was trying to make were not popular. And consequently, neither was I with some people. So I was about ready to go to a church service, and I felt like there's a lot of tension, and I wasn't really looking forward to walking into all the tension, and there had been a lot of difficult conversations. And I knew it was just a really hard time, so like I'm getting ready early on that Sunday morning, August 14th, 2011, and I have this weird thought. I'm like, getting the kids ready. I'm going to go into church and they hate me there. You know, can I do this? And I had this weird thought. And the thought was, I want to talk to a pastor this morning. I just really want to talk to a pastor. Now, it's pretty hard to call a pastor and get a hold of him on a Sunday morning because usually pastors are pretty busy on Sunday mornings. But I thought, you know what? It's early. I'm going to try. So I tried a lifelong friend named Joe, who is a pastor in Cincinnati. So I called Joe, wanting to talk with the pastor. Joe didn't answer his phone. Big surprise. Sunday morning for a pastor. I didn't expect him to answer his phone. So I hung up. And a few moments later, my phone rang. And I looked at it, and it wasn't my pastor friend Joe in Cincinnati. It was my pastor friend in St. Louis, and his name was Michael. And I was like, whoa. So I pick up the phone, and Michael says to me, he says, I just saw it on the news this morning. There was a tornado at the Indiana State Fair, and it made me think of you. How are you doing? It's like, oh, that's great. What do you know? Like, you're calling me right now at this moment. I'm okay. And then he said, you know, when I saw Indiana in the news, I thought of you, and I just felt like God wanted me to call and tell you a message. Okay. And he said, my message is, you've got nothing to prove. And as he spoke those words, it sure seemed a God like me. And not only that, the consequences of a tornado in Indiana, you know, and us being in the news like from that the night before that morning was pretty wild. I've never had a call from a pastor on a Sunday morning before. And not only that, but just by bizarre circumstances, there had been a baseball game in St. Louis that had been rained out. And my aunt, a few days earlier, had offered me tickets to a Sunday night game in St. Louis with the St. Louis Cardinals. So right after church, I was like, you won't believe this, but I'm going to be in St. Louis tonight. So I was going to St. Louis with my two kids at the time. We went to a baseball game. And that night, Michael, his wife, and a son met me at the gate, and they gave me a card. And the card had $300 in it. And these are not people who were rich by any stretch of the imagination. That message was just emblazed in me. You've got nothing to prove. Nothing to prove. So what do you do with that, right? Like, that's not exactly something you can do because we've been talking about listening to Christ. And so there's not a direct application there. I'm going to tell you a little bit more next week what I think that meant for me. So come back, please, next Sunday. Not tomorrow, next Sunday, the week after, where I flesh that out a little bit, what that meant for me, that message. But it is something. So next week we will. But as we go into Sabbath, I was actually really surprised because there was just some words of Jesus that I felt and they didn't really apply. But the words were from Matthew 11. We're going to start with 28. So these are words that Jesus audibly spoke. And it's these are perfect words for our Sabbath. But it's, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." God created people to work, to take on a role, to do some labor. But sometimes that labor gets so heavy, and we can get overwhelmed by it. I know people who, like, their biggest fear in life is to be a burden to anybody else. And they're willing to take on all these burdens, but they don't want to burden anybody else. And here Jesus, and when you take on burdens and you don't give them to anybody else, that's very admirable, but it's not sustainable. Here we have Jesus saying, "Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavily burdened. You're carrying too much of a load, and I will give you rest." So I know that transition is super clunky from "you've got nothing to prove" and "what does Christ say to you" to this. And I'll have to tell you, when I was writing this sermon, I was looking really hard for the note that Pastor Michael and his family gave me in St. Louis that said, "You've got nothing to prove," but I couldn't find it until a couple of days ago. And a couple of days ago, when I reread that message, it said something that I didn't remember at all. And it explained how that fits with this. You want to hear? Okay, so here's my note from 2011. And it, his daughter put sermon notes from that sermon. So, girls, ideas, if you want to take them out. Just kidding. But in this note that he and his family signed, they had the money in it, the last lines were, "You have nothing to prove, so rest in him." You have nothing to prove, so rest in him. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." I'll tell you, when I try to prove myself, because that's the season I was in, I had critics and I knew it, and I felt this pressure to prove myself. And when I feel that pressure to prove myself, I just feel these heavy burdens, and I feel anxiety, and I try to do more. I think I need to do more than I really can. And what God was really asking me to do was different than what I was doing. Because God was asking me to do less than what I was doing. And when I try to prove myself, I do more than what Christ calls me to do. And it's not blessed by him, or I get overwhelmed and burdened. "You've got nothing to prove, so rest in him." Just as we sang in that second song, the empty tomb is there to prove my Savior lives. Christ has already proven himself. If you're called by Christ, you got nothing to prove. Jacob and Korah, you got nothing to prove. When you go to Newcastle, you got nothing to prove. Just go and be faithful to the calling. That's all Christ was asking me to do. Just be faithful to the thing, whether it worked or not. Just be faithful to the thing I thought God was calling me to do. And I had nothing to prove. So let's look at the rest of that statement from Jesus, words that he spoke audibly in 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now that language there it's a little bit weird for us here in America and on the other side of the world, different culture. But yoke was, what that was a device that connected two animals that were doing work together, usually two oxen. And it would connect them together so the two would do the work and they would be more effective so it wouldn't be overwhelming weight for one or the other. So in there, that yoke, which is also a metaphor for Jesus' teaching, it's a reminder not to do it alone, but to do it with, to do the work with, and that Christ isn't going to put more on us than we can really handle, that we can, the things that he's going to call us to do, he's going to help us with too, which is, I need a lot of help. and he promises to give us help, because sometimes, and Jacob and Korah will feel that way for you guys, sometimes maybe more to do than you can handle. And it is, if you don't have help. But his yoke is easy, his teachings, and his burden, it's light enough to carry. So Jesus didn't say, take all the work away, but he did say it'd be light enough for us to handle. Sometimes I think I need to prove that I can carry a heavy load, but I don't. Maybe sometimes you think that too. Sometimes you got to prove that you can do it. You got to prove you can carry a heavy load. But really, you've got nothing to prove. Who are you proving it to? Jesus, who calls you, says you have nothing to prove. Rest in me. Come to me and find rest. Now, I don't know what Christ has said to you specifically. But I'm confident that his words are far better than anything I could say to you. And I'm also confident that the words that he has for you are good and helpful and lead to peace and goodness in your life. So I'm gonna do what Pastor Emily said. I'm going to do what Jesus' father said, Jesus' mother and brother said. I'm going to encourage you. Listen to him. We don't need to just talk about Christ. We can talk to him and we can listen to him and do what he says. And that is something, if we really learn to do that, I think it's the peace that we're looking for. So as the worship team comes forward here, I hope that you'll be open to listening and receiving this blessing that's been spoken over God's people for thousands of years. We're going to do a little bit of a twist with it on this Sabbath. Sabbath is Shabbat, related to shalom, like peace. So I pray that you will be willing to receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom and give you peace and give you wholeness and give you sufficient fullness and give you rest. Be blessed.